Matthew's Gospel 20. This month, our conference, we're going to have an hybrid teaching, which means there are two emphases. And so I'm going to share them together. Praise the Lord. Are you here? Matthew's Gospel 28. And as you read that, 1 Timothy chapter 3, all of us here today, we are first among equals. I've said that to you over and over. We're not best among equals. First among equals. I often say it's just like the class captain in school. The class captain is oftentimes chosen so that he can bear the responsibility for others. Now, sometimes they could be the most brilliant, sometimes they could be the smartest, but not all the time. If I give an altar call here, a roll call, some of you that were class captains said, we're not the best. Don't look at me, I wasn't talking to you. You have school prefect. No, that one can come under different, but school prefect. You know, you're a school prefect not because you're the best, you're just the first amongst your own colleagues. That's exactly what we are. And why are we given responsibilities? Because we've spent time, and that time is a presumption that we're exposed to knowledge and experience well enough to guide others. But we must never use it as an advantage over people. It's not an advantage. It's a means to serve. We can't use it for ourselves. We can't use it to manipulate. I'm going to share something next month, not this month, but I may talk about a bit, that I will talk about honor to the congregation. How a leader, because there is an honor you give, and we'll do an honor check next month. I may even say it today. Who knows? How do you honor the congregation? Because if they give you 5% or no, 500, let me measure it that way, you must give back at least 1,000. Is that clear? So you are just first. You are not best amongst the rest. You are the first. First among equals. Now, because of that, we have certain responsibilities that you can't gloss over. It's not just something in scripture, it's a responsibility. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul, writing to Timothy, and this is so vital, that he says, verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. That means that every believer should have this desire. Like we say in the church, where we say workers in training, is workers in training to pastor. I've told you that before. So now, he rolls out a couple of things. Verse 2, a bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, this is both before and after. That is, before you are chosen, we look at this. Just like in Acts 6, when he told them in verse 3, look for among yourselves men of honest report, full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. So this is before and after. Because if you do this before and you drop it afterwards, then you're a hypocrite. It's before and after. Apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy or filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous. Now, my emphasis is on verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5 gained a wide attraction. Wide traction. A wide attraction, same thing. One that ruleth well his own house. Look at that. One that ruleth well his own household. He says, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Look at verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together slowly. This is for all pastors. And like I said, this has no gender to it. Now look at verse 5. Let's go. For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, How shall he take care of the church of God? This was the only one he said this way. If he doesn't know how to rule his house, how is he able to take care of the church of God? Hallelujah. How? You know the interesting thing was in verse 15, he now calls the church of God the house of God. The same Greek word. The church of God, he calls it the house of God. So you are not just to be apt to teach. You are also meant to be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, an exemplary mother. So, which means in the work of the ministry, how I handle and run my home is very important. Are you here? Look at what he says again. Let's use that for 5 again. I'm going to take that. For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, he says, how shall he take care of the church of God? Which means that we will have to look at how you handle your home to know whether we can give you responsibility in the churches. Look at Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and verse 18. He says, all authority, which is the word power there, is given to me in heaven and on earth, or in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's the word, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded, lo, I'm with you always to the end of it. Now he uses the word nations, which is the word ethnos in the Greek. Ethnos. Now in Mark 13 and 10, Mark 13 and 10, hallelujah. It says, and the gospel must be published among all ethnos. Matthew 24, 14, same thing. Among all ethnos. Now we've been doing studies to know that the context of this will be the Old Testament. So in the Greek it's the word ethnos. In the Hebrew is the word goy. G-O-Y. My Hebrew friends will laugh at me, but I don't really care now. G-O-Y, goy. So let's look at, because I'm thinking, Paul is saying have to rule the house. And Peter gives instructions to see that in 1 Peter 3 about husband and wives. And I'm saying, how important is that in the ministry? If I'm going to the nations. The word here is ethnos. Nations. But then the context of it is the Old Testament books. Genesis chapter 10. The first time the word nations is used, arguably the first time, Genesis chapter 10 and verse 15. Verse 20 first. Verse 20. I'll read 15. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Eth. Then I'll go to verse 18. And the Arvadites, and the Zemarites, and the Amorites, and afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. It says families. Then look at verse 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Notice the sequence. Nations in the countries, or countries in their nations, tongues in the countries, but family is a root there. Families. So he mentions the goy, and he says family. Look at verse 31. These are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So he traces the root of nations to family. That's what he does. In Genesis 12 and verse 2, where Abraham was called by God, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. A great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall, what? All the families of the earth. Families of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 17 and verse 4. Genesis 17 and verse 4. My covenant is with you. Thou shalt be a father. A family word. Of many nations. Neither shall thy name no more be called Abraham, but by thy name Abraham shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations. Again, father. Verse 6, I'll make of thee nations of thee, and kings shall come out of you. Verse 16. Now this is to Sarah. I'll bless thee, and thou shalt be a mother of nations. Kings of the people shall be of her. Genesis 22 and verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So you see, the families and nations are used interchangeably. Families. So in Galatians 3:8, Galatians 3:8, Paul, reading God's covenant with Abraham. Yep. He says, the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations of the earth. And it is in Genesis 12:3. The families of the earth. Hallelujah. So God speaks of families. And you see the genealogy of the Bible, whether you look at Genesis chapter 5, which is really an intro, Genesis chapter 5, and verse 1. The book of the generations of Adam. In the day that he created man, the likeness of God made he him. Then he rolls out family. Genesis chapter 10, the one we just read earlier, also rolls out family. Genesis chapter 10, from verse 1. Family. What was preserved in the ark was also what? A family. So God, therefore, in the pattern of scripture, walked with families. So you come to the priesthood. Notice The priest was Aaron. Aaron is Moses' brother. Are you here? Now before we go to Moses, all right, Genesis lets us know the parents preserved the life of Moses, husband and wife. But the mother was more prominent. Hebrews tells us that they saw him as a proper child. So who was responsible for the preservation of Moses? His sister, Miriam. His call to the ministry. Who did God look out for to walk with him in ministry? His brother, Aaron. So from them we have Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. They are siblings. Are you here? So Moses is from the tribe of Levi. Aaron is from the tribe of Levi. From Aaron's sons, the priesthood was chosen. Same thing goes into the choosing kings. They are siblings. Siblings. Hallelujah. That's what they are. So you come to New Testament, as we call it. You have also siblings. Or let's start with genealogy. Genealogy also is retained, Matthew 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Mr. Nobody. No, he's the son of David and the son of Abraham. Family. Son of, now you see the genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac Jacob, Jacob begat Judas. And his brother, that's Judah. In Luke's Gospel chapter 3. Same genealogy. From verse 23. Began to be about 30 years old, Luke 3. Being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Eli. Son of. Family. So when we read scripture, we read how God walked through families. God walked through families in scripture. And you have people say, well, that's the Old Testament. You know, people are quick. The Old Testament thing. It's as though you're running from something. You know, it's Old Testament. We're always running away from something. It's Old Testament. It's Old Testament. But I know. Hallelujah. God used families. Pay attention to that Moses one. Look at Exodus chapter 4. You can't miss it. Exodus now. Exodus 2 first. There was a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a lot of Levi. Levi is there. The woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw him, he was a goodly child, feet child. The hoop there. She hid him for 3 months. Then what does she do? Verse 4. His sister stood afar to see what was done. Then the sister went to follow him. Oh, one of the Hebrew children. Verse 7. Then his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Shall I go and call the nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse a child for you? So they said, go ahead. She went to bring the mother. So they took her. They took him home and groomed him. At home, right? Are you here? He was groomed at home. So God trusted the mentorship of a very important instrument that he will use, whose remarkable impact by the grace of God will span till eternity. He trusted that ministry to where? Family. Are you following this? Are you following this? Come on, guys. Are you following this? To family. So notice his sister, his mom. And then 10 says the child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. He called his name Moses. But in verse 11, Came to pass in those when Moses was grown and went to his brethren and looked on their bodies. He spied an Egyptian, spied an Hebrew, one of his children. He looked his way, and his way, when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. Now, what happened? That means from whom he had been given his identity. They didn't try to train him otherwise, like some people do. They try to train their children for the world. You know, they belong to this generation. You're welcome. The work of the gospel was committed to family. Yet again. Now in Exodus chapter 4, when the Lord called Moses, and he said, look at 13. Oh my Lord, I pray thee, send by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Look, I can't really talk and all that. And the anger of the Lord was kindled, verse 14, and said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? Hallelujah. Are you seeing something? Is he not your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. Verse 16, he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. Praise the Lord. Family. One of the most important lessons we teach today in leadership came from his father-in-law. You can't miss all that pattern. Family. So Moses, his brother, his sister, his mom, arguably to his dad, and then his father-in-law. Arguably, as it were, the most important event which forms the basis of much of Bible theology walks through family, or walk through family. Praise the Lord. Are you here? So you come to the New Testament. Glory to God. The incarnation. The incarnation. The angel comes to Mary. Watch this. And speaks to Mary. That's the Luke's account. Matthew says Mary was with a child. But Luke's account says the angel came to Mary. And Mary began to ask the angel and said, look, how can these things be? And the angel answered, be it unto me according to your word, Luke 1:37, 38. The angel said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. The Greek actually says, no word of God lacks ability to perform. But what else happens? The angel goes to her husband to be. And she has a child of the Holy Ghost. The husband to be also received the word of God. So God worked with the wife to be, call her the wife, and then the husband. They are walking in consonance with God's will. Is that very clear? So again, you find family. When, pay attention now, when God's going to rescue, he asks them to move, say Matthew, to leave for Egypt, who does he talk to? He talks to Joseph. When they were going to come back again from Egypt, he speaks to Joseph. So, Luke 2, go back, go to Luke 2. Are you here? Glory to God. Yeah. Luke 2. Of course, Luke 1 first. Let's say Luke 1 first. Luke 1 is also important. Luke 1, where the angel of the Lord, in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Let's take 6 together. Let's go. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. We can go on and on. And watch this now. Zachariah had an encounter with the angel. The angel speaks to him. He struck not to speak. Verse 22. But verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus saith the Lord, or thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach amongst them. Now, what else now happens? The angel goes to Mary. The angel speaks to Mary about the Lord Jesus. And verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and salutes Elizabeth. It came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb leaped for joy. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke. She's also filled with the Holy Ghost. But who is she? Who is she? She is her cousin. Their family. She is her cousin. Their family. So Jesus and John are what we can call in today's world second cousins. They are family. So here we go again. The man that will be announcing Jesus to the world will, now it can't be his brother because she's a virgin, okay? He's his cousin. Almost the closest you can have in family to do it. His cousin. It doesn't stop there. Jesus also calls people who were family. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew, his brother. Simon, Peter, brothers. Verse 21, two other brethren, James and John, brothers. There was also a Simon who was a cousin of Jesus. So you find among the disciples, family. Now in Acts of the Apostles, so the emphasis is not missed. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. Verse 13. Regarding the upper room, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. They all continued in one accord, in prayer and supplication, Acts 1:14, with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. With his brethren. Let's look at another story. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus goes to the house of Martha. But who is there with Martha? We have Mary. Mary is Martha's sister. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And verse 38. She had a sister called Mary. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 11, they had a brother called Lazarus. Again, family. John's Gospel 11:1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was, you know, Mary that anointed. Therefore, verse 3, his sisters sent to him. His sisters, their siblings. Mary, Martha, siblings. Now watch again. In the commission Jesus gave to his disciples to preach, John 10. Are you here? Sorry, Matthew 10. That's it, John 10. Matthew 10. When he sent them to preach, it says in verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the household, that's the word, of Israel, Matthew 10. But now look at verse 11. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire into it, it's worthy, and abide there till you go in. Then it says, when you come into a house, now the word here is an household, salute it. Pay attention to the next words. If the household, now household is oikios, which also means family, be worthy, let your peace come upon you. If it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. The family is judged together. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house, then it says, or city, that house, or that household. In Matthew 13 and 57, a prophet, this is not a good one though, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. Follow the pattern, country, nation, going, and in his own family. Jesus speaks about household, oikos. Matthew 21:13, and Mark 11:17, my house, he calls his temple a house. My house shall be of all nations a house of prayer. That's talking about the temple. He refers to the temple like family. When he was going to also eat Passover, Matthew 26, he called, beckoned on a household. In Luke 8 and 39, the madman of Gadara, as we call him, even though he has been cured over 2,000 years ago, but he's still mad. He said to him, when the man said, I want to go, he said, man, 38, the man out of whom the devils were departed, so that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine house. This is where I need to start this one. Return to your household and show how great things God has done to thee. The man went his way, published throughout the whole city what Jesus has done. He said to his household, go home. Go home with the good news. Go home with the gospel. Go home with the power of God. Go home with the doctrine of Jesus. Go home. Go home. And he said, don't return home. You know, you are now a born again man. And you know, born again people, they normally don't like you. So stay far away from home as much as possible. He says, go home. So it's important to see that there is an emphasis of the gospel on a family, a home, a household, houses. Are you here? So when he says in my father's house, there are many mansions, he probably knew what he was saying. Now look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, emphasis is not lost. We just read one, Jesus and his brothers, or Mary and the brothers of Jesus. So Acts 2 and verse 46. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, lovely, and breaking bread from where? House to house. Now when they say house, you know the way we do here, we dwell alone. Apartments, service flats. That's how we think here. So when they say house, it may not resonate with us because you go and get a house for yourself, you know, that kind of thing. But household and house are synonymous because you stay with family. So the context of it is from family to family. Acts 2:46. Acts 5 and 42. Daily in the temple and in every household. Always change the word house to household. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus. Household. Acts 5:42. Look at Acts 10. Acts 10 and verse 2. I want us to read this one together. This shouldn't be lost. Let's go. Acts 10, 2. Are you here? A devout man and one that feared God with what? All of his, change it to what? Household. He didn't say his house cannot be included in the air conditioner. His household. So when Peter came, right, who was the audience? The household. That's why Acts 10 says they heard them. Verse 44, the word fell on, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. They heard them. The household. Are you here? They heard them. Them is not just Cornelius. Acts 16. No, sorry. I missed one. Acts 11, 14. Why would I miss this one? You there? Let's read it together. I'll start from 13. Let's read it together. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men, Go on. 14, slowly let's say it together. Who shall tell you these words, wherewith thou and all your family shall be saved. Learn something? Acts 16. Acts 16. And 15. I'll start from 14. There was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Let's go together. She attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. Now let's read the next one. And when she was baptized, and what? Our household. Go on. She besought us, saying, if you adjure me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. Household. So that you don't miss the emphasis. He goes to jail. He goes, is rescued. Verse 25. He and Silas. Then they go to the keeper of the prison. Where do they go to? In verse 31. Let's take it together. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And what? 32. They spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. Verse 33. He took them the same hour, baptized and all that. 34. And when he had brought them to his house, he sat meat at meat. Let's go. And rejoiced, believing in God with what? All his house. You can't miss this. Is there an emphasis on the household? There is an emphasis. All his household. So when anyone is thinking of starting a family, they must know what's in the mind of God about family. Acts 18. I'm going to read to you again. Verse 8. Crispus, the ruler of synagogue, believed, let's go again, believed on the Lord, with all is household. Just a few verses earlier, we found the husband and the wife, Priscilla and Aquila, family. Acts 18, 2, 3, and 4. Acts 20. The fellows in Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila, were the ones who helped the man by the name of Apollos to know the word of God much more accurately. Acts 18 verse 26, took him privately and all that. So Acts 20 and verse 20. Here's Paul. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and taught you publicly and from household to household. Acts 21. Verse 8. The next day, we that were of Philip's company, JPLC, departed and came to Caesarea. We entered into where? The house of Philip the evangelist, which one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters virgins, which are married, which did prophesy. You can't miss this emphasis. The household emphasis of the epistles, the book of Acts is telling. Very clear. Romans chapter 16 and 5. Look at Paul's greetings. He says in 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles. He says, likewise greet the church that is in their house. That's what he says. Then verse 10, even though this is King James and it's italicized, Apelles approved in Christ, salute them which are of Aristobulus, the household. Verse 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman, greet them of the household of Narcissus, the household. 15, Philogos and Julia, Neros and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints that are with them. Because this also presupposes that he's talking about family. Verse 10 and 11, okay, I read that already. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Before that, 1 Corinthians 1, 11. A church is named in the house. And declared unto me by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. The house of Chloe. So 1 Corinthians 16. And I'm going to read verse 15. No, I think I've skipped one. 1 Corinthians 1:16. I baptized the household of Stephanus. So 1 Corinthians 16, and I'm going to read verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that is the first fruit of Achaia, the household. They have addicted as a family, they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Interesting. Then verse 19, churches of Asia salute you the same thing, Romans. Aquila, Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now go to Philippians 4:22. Philippians 4:22. Does the gospel look like an anti-family fact? Huh? I'm asking? No, it doesn't. Philippians 4:22. Salute every saint in Christ. So the brethren that are with me greet you. 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Family. Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, the church that is in his household. So, it does matter a lot. Romans 16, look, I read that earlier. First Timothy. I will skip that First Timothy, I'll come back to it. But 2 Timothy 4. Yep. And I'm going to read verse 19. Yep. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. So again, in speaking to Timothy, he talks about a household. 2 Timothy 4 and 19. So let's go back to, 2 Timothy 1, 6. I skipped that too. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Again, the house of Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Is that 2 Timothy? No. I think I mixed that up. 1 second. The house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshes me and not ashamed of my chain. But look at 2 Timothy 1. Verse 5. When I recall to remember the faint faith that is in thee, who dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded it's in you, family. So there is a family fact that is in scripture. Why do you think those guys' names were mentioned? Because they're an example. An example to the church. So go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 4. So when it says a bishop must be one that rules well his own house, does he have those guys as the examples? Huh? He does. Having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Chapter 5. A stronger statement comes out there, even though chapter 5 is a little bit, I won't call it nebulous, but it's a variable because it really deals with widows. But even in speaking to widows, look at what he says in verse 4. If any widow have children or nephews, let them first show what? Where? At home. To reconcile their parents and that is good and acceptable before God. At home. Then it says in verse 8, if any provides not for his own home, especially for those of his own house, well, he has denied what? The faith. Interesting. And is worse, Paul says, than an infidel. Look at 14. And therefore, that the younger women marry, that's the younger widows, their children guide the house. So which means my responsibility doesn't stop in church. Let me see if you're following this well. Are you following this well? It doesn't stop in church. My responsibility goes home with me. My ministry is not just in church. It's at home. Why? Because God is interested in families. Now, let me ask you. This is a straight question. Look up. Does God want all the members of my family to be in the ministry? He does. Does he want them to serve him? Yep. Does he want them saved? He does. If he wants them saved, he wants them to serve. He wants them to serve. He wants them to do what I'm doing. So Peter says, look, when you are home, it's not just by preaching. Peter says, let your conduct be that of a man of God, a woman of God. He says, some of us quickly lean on, a prophet is not without honor except in his own household. Well, be of an example first. It's true that Jesus' family, first of all, went, oh, come on, we don't believe in his ministry. But who was James? His brother. Right? He didn't get them as much by his preaching and teaching because they just mocked it. But he got them by his fruit. Are you here? Such that James didn't look like he was entitled, as soon as Peter was leaving in Acts, look at Acts 12. Who did Peter give responsibility of the church in Jerusalem to? Acts 12. Go show verse 17 unto James and to the brethren. There was a James who was killed, who was the brother of John, in verse 2. We'll come to that in a moment. There was now the James, the Lord's brother, who eventually wrote an epistle. God loves families. He wants families saved. It's not good enough for me to be doing devotion at home. He says, I must show pity. I must show a man who runs his home well, his family. Praise the Lord. The first thing is salvation. Salvation and grooming with the work of the ministry that comes by my exemplary life. And I can start practicing that even before I'm married. When I'm at home, what do they see? My dad would tell my brother then, can't you see your brother? And he used that as an example a lot. Even though in initial stages, we had talks of war. Talks of war. One day I remember one of my cousins was talking about something and he was saying that, can God talk to all of you here? He said it. He said, you are all watching movie till 2 a.m. He said, he's always praying. The same prayer he persecuted before, he's always praying. God cannot talk to anybody here. He has to be that guy. Hallelujah. And I was really responsible. Maybe I can say this now. I knew I was going to be in the ministry and we're going to clash. So I told him that I wanted to handle my school fees myself. Because he that pays piper will dictate the tune. Till I left law school, I paid my fees. The last time my father paid my fees was my first year in university. I said, I have to be responsible. After a while, I'll take on responsibility in the home. When he was going to die, he said, nobody loved me like you. Every time I talk like that, I feel emotional, but not today. I'm strong. He never told me. He told his mentor who told me. When somebody was saying, your son is all, he said, no, God has called him. He handles his life well. He's not careless. Praise the Lord. You know, one day like that, he said, is this the person you listen to? I now brought Brother Hagin to him. He said, I want to read it. He started to read Hagin because of me. I bought a book by Reverend Chris Okote, The Last Outcast. My dad liked that book, eh? He didn't allow me to read my copy. He said, this thing is, I like the way he's presenting it. He said, you know, you people, the way you will be preaching, you preaching many, you quote many scriptures. He's not really quoting scriptures. Hallelujah. It was very easy for him to relate with all church people. Many of you who knew him, knew he related very well. Why? Because I was not a bad example. It was very easy. All the members of the fellowship, all the members of the churches. Let me mention one. When my dad was going to pass on, because the very last moment when he had to go to the hospital, there was someone in the church that he said, follow me, let's go see the doctor together. In this church. Why was that possible? If I was an irresponsible guy who was just blasting time out. Hey, you ain't doing well in school, all right? But say, I have a call of God into the ministry. I have a call. And then, after the call of God, now home, you go come collect money. Irresponsible. Praise the Lord. Are you here? You got to be a good example. You have to be. My mom and my dad, they used to fight me at the beginning. Hey, da, 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 da. But after a while, you know, you watch yourself. You behave yourself. I told him, I said, I'll just take care of my fees myself. There was a time like that I had a financial crisis. My fees could not be taken care of. I was about to ask him. I said, look, this is a tough one. I had thrown out my faith did not mean anything. It was tough. So, as I was about to go into his room to ask him, I made up my mind, I said, look, this is my fourth year, I'm going to my fifth year, I can't. As I entered, he said, we will have to pray for me. That is my son, you have to pray for me. I said, what happened? He said, my business has been very tough, you know, and you know, the way God meets your own needs. I looked at him and I said, what? So I went back to school and I said to myself, I'll just go and defer 1 year. Because there was no way money was coming. So I went to my classmates and I told them, they said, no. We're going to write an application to the school and we'll share, I can never forget this for the rest of my life. They said, we're going to share our fees. You can't take a year out. Praise the Lord. Why were they able to do that? Because I led a good example to them too. It's not everything that is exegesis. They ask you something that should have come from your life. You are saying, the context of the New Testament is the Old Testament. Oga, come here. The eventual context is your life. Hallelujah. Are you here? Don't let your kids hate God because of you. How can you be a father and you are frowning? Please, let me ask you, what is in frowning? Can you tell me the benefits? Doctors will tell us, I think you'll be sick. Are you? No. Your wife is the same thing, your husband. And it's because you are very spiritual. How can you be spiritual and you are irritable? No, but in that speaking tongue, they'll be having bad manners. God punish you. He's speaking in tongues. There was one guy. He was speaking in tongues and watching a movie. I said, oh boy, choose one. Can not walk. Face this and learn it. Understand it well. Hallelujah. God loves our family. You know, within these things Paul is writing, and Jesus and the Old Testament, we are single mothers too. Praise the Lord. A family doesn't have to. Yeah, it could be ideal, definitely, but you find people that were able to raise their children because they saw those children as God's project. My siblings. To the glory of God. And I'm not saying this as a boast. I got all my family saved. That was the first person who got saved. I think it's my mom. She's confused about the day she got saved. Because the different doctrines she's exposed to. But let me use the one she uses. I got them. My dad said, I cannot speak in tongues. He told me. I said, why? He said, because he gave me one. Don't let me put it out. I said, okay. So he was the only person that ever spoke in tongues. I knew my mom could be a bit interesting. She loves the Lord, but she's my mom. So I got a sister in the fellowship who could lay hands on some of the sorcerers to speak in tongues. I said, come, I have a project in our house. I said, when you lay hands on her, make sure she falls many times. That she will respect. My mom in the living room, she's on the floor, she's speaking in tongues, and I'm hearing her tongues. I said, very well. So continue. Praise the Lord. Are you here? Family is God's plan. Is God's mind. If you are privileged to raise a child, to raise children, to be a wife, to be a husband, do it unto the Lord. Is that clear? The ministry does not stop in the church. Are you here? And I've said this to some of us who are leaders, and I say it in your counseling period. That's why next month we're going to do faith, foolishness, and presumption. You have to hear it. There's no the context of, you hear the context. And I said, you're married to a pastor. That can be a huge danger. You now get home. You are still behaving like pastor. And I say, if your wife or your husband calls you pastor in the bedroom, cast out the devil. It's demonic. Bedroom, pastor. I forbid Satan from this piece of Jesus. When you get home and your wife or your husband and even your children, don't play the honor card. That's manipulative. Imagine your wife says, so that can you just help me with the kitchen? You know, you can't say, pastor, can you just, you know, that's not. They say, who are you talking to? Know them that labor among you. Oh boy, sit down. It was manipulator. Is that clear? Don't quote scripture, quote your life. Okay? If your wife says to you, I don't like what you have done, don't say, don't talk to me like I'm a man of God. Well, what can you say, don't? Behave like one. Say sorry. Let me say, oh Lord. That's what you are. Say sorry. Somebody was telling me, he said, can you imagine my wife calls me, called me stupid. I said, who else can say it? So I don't know what I said. I said, were you not stupid? What did you want to be said? But was she the one that said, well, interestingly, is love. The Bible says, husband, love your wives. Wives, submit. Wives also are told to love the husband. You can rebuke in love. See, I don't like what I say. I say, you are thinking like an African man. You know, it's Africa that a man will fart. And you can't say, huh? Your children should be able to come out of the bathroom and say, Daddy! Oh! Are you here? You can ask you questions. Not Bible questions. Daddy, and the Greek word, ask other questions. Is that clear? What you take home is your example. Not sermons. Not Bible study. After Bible study, you will still shout. After all the Bible study, so that's the devotion. After the devotion. Devotion is by force. Who is this? Oh boy. Wake up. Is that clear? And also be responsible. Responsible financially. Amen. Don't say we are believing God and all your believing is on the bed. Is that clear? There was a brother who asked me to counsel in church. I said, I'm like a man. I said, what do I do, sir? Ah. Go out and hustle, my guy. You hustle. You think it's not safe that you'll just be going to the car park at 11 p.m. and just be saying, there's nothing, no responsibility. No, you have responsibility. As money comes into your hand, all those are suya. Suya how? You reduce the suya. Say, my doctor said that. You hustle! Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? You bring the sister, don't say, oh, look it across the room. I've been telling you that this is, that's not my sermon today. I have that one later in next month, okay? We'll get on that. Some people will redefine their relationships. Amen. Guys, we're men of God and we should rule over our house as well, okay? And be a responsible father, husband, sibling. Do you get that? To your siblings, be responsible. Some people make the faith look, I don't want to use a word, so repugnant. So repugnant. Be responsible. show responsibility to siblings. You're the first child in the family, and you're a man of God. Double trouble. Sorry for the use of the word trouble, but it's a trouble. You have to show the way for others. Now, I'm not saying that everyone in your family will follow you. It's not automatic. It may not even know automatic the rest of your life, but you must put it in mind that as you go out to preach the gospel, raise disciples, your home, your family is part of God's plan. Is that very clear? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at Numbers 13. I've been sharing that with you for a while. Numbers 13. Did you get something from that? Praise the Lord. Numbers 13. In the work of the ministry. But I'm not, interestingly, what was on my heart this evening is not just the work of the ministry. You know, a good number of us sometimes don't know how to face difficulties in the work of the ministry. It has to come. It will come. Numbers 13. Imagine God told them about a promised land, but the memo did not include the giants. So in Numbers 13, here we have the spies. They went, and when they came back, look at what they said. In verse 26, they showed them the fruit of the land, and they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it." Now listen, and I'm going to repeat myself again. A leader cannot transmit doubt. You know, we are all human and we all have our own doubts, right? We have our own challenges with faith. But we must rise above it. They were meant to inspire faith. Their job is to inspire people to believe God. That's your job. Listen, your job is to inspire men to believe God in any circumstance. Did you hear me? That's your job. I was saying this in church on Wednesday. A man called me from America. I think he's in America. He was a junior to my father in school. He was those guys that finished with government college in the middle 60s. Was in government college in the 60s. So he said, "Oh, my dad, your dad my dad was in upper six when he was in form one." So he said to me, "I look at Nigeria and I'm wondering, why do we have such negativity?" He was talking about something that was going on in the government college about a group. And I have to say this publicly. He said, "Some people just post negative things." He said, but I'm just wondering why did, so he now says something that was remarkable. I mentioned on Wednesday. He said, "The thing about the negativity is coming from God's children." You know, I said, "When did it become normal?" I'm an elderly man, I'm sure he's in his 70s. He said, "When did it become normal for a Christian to be negative?" I said, "I don't know, sir." I said, "What happened is that many of the pastors who had political choices and the choices were, you know, not, you know, didn't meet their expectation, now decided to turn the table." I said, "But in the Bible, a leader must inspire faith. These guys were sent out." Now, they said, "We have the fruit of the land." They said it. They now said, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land." This is, if we're going to title this, is how to handle unexpected things. They didn't expect to see it. Didn't expect that. They thought they would just go check the fruit of the land. But as they were checking the fruit of the land, they saw giants. Said, "We saw giants. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and cities of walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak." At least the people were strong. One, it now got worse. We saw the Anakims. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the. They now started to paint every picture. They now moved from. Look at it. They move from bad to worse to worse. Now, if you're a Nigerian English speaker, worstest. They now include the worstest. The Amorites dwelling there. They say, "Look, everywhere now trouble." They say, "Look at it now. They dwell, look at what he said, Amalekites in the land, Hittites and Jebusites, like that, that's, I read it already. Amorites dwell in the mountain, see, land, mountain, the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan, see, study. Then Caleb, glory to God, the kind of leader that you should be. Caleb says, stop it! Praise the Lord. We're going to come back to this in a moment. He says, it's still the people before Moses. You know, Joshua was, he learned from Moses. When he sent his own spies, he said, come and meet me in the green room. That's how we give you things to do prophecy. You say, no, but I start crying. He said, come. You know, I learned this too. One day we're having the Holy Ghost within 1994, about November, in Tedder Hall. Tedder JCR, I said JCR, SCR. And we're having a good Holy Ghost meeting. Larry was coordinating, Larry Amuson, my friend. And we're having a good meeting. In fact, we had, but we used to call the guy still today, we call him When I Was in the Spirit. Because when the guy got up here, when I was in the Spirit a few minutes ago, so we used to call him When I Was in the Spirit. So then I give the mic to this sister. You know, she said, She now said, the Lord is saying there are many people today who have gifts of the Spirit and they have fire. I said, people just open their eyes, huh? She wanted to continue. You know, people need to keep talking. Check your lives. Check your lives. It's not ever, oh my God. The next Holy Ghost meeting. So Gina told Larry, he said, let them write the prophecy first. It's called written word. I learned from the two of them. If you have prophecy you want to give, and I don't know you, I said, oh boy, let me hear it. It's for the church, sir. I'm part of the church. Oh boy, somebody was upset. I was offended by them. Said, oh, when he says, wala. God, he's not in control. I said, calm down. It's for a sister here. It's for a brother. Tell me. I will know them and be a pastor. I mean, in UMC years back, that must have been 95 or so. Probably 94 too. The brethren were fighting with prophecy. I remember the tone very massive. I can't forget it. And the prophecy was, I'll change the name. I know I never gave you the detail of this. That is, leave God there alone. Leave God there alone. God there is going now. He's in the prophecy. No one responded. Now, one of them was a member of our ministry. He said, yeah, about 29 years ago. No, 95. He said, you don't say that one back home. You are just jealous, you are just jealous. I know I've said this, but I never got this far. Because the people are very well known to me. So I called them after. Are you more crazy? Hallelujah. Glory to God. These are the kind of things that some of those other side of the body of Christ will see and criticize the gifts of the Spirit. So from that point, we want to prophesy. If I don't know you, you can be doing this, many Holy Ghost movies, whatever you like, sit down. But here, I'll know you. You know, four is smaller than everybody. You know, it was a meeting in groups of three. We can curtail that one. But when you say everybody, a leader cannot inspire fear. So Joshua called them and said, come and tell me what you heard first. Let me tell it to the people. So, they said, this is a bad situation. That's what they said. Caleb said, stop. He shouted, let us go at once and possess it, for we are able. The men continue. We are not able to go up against them, for they are stronger. They now increased it. You know, some people like I said, you don't understand what we're saying. You know, when we were in so and so place, you know, you went to pray. You didn't see the other side. They said, they brought up an evil report. It's called an evil report, which means it stands against God's will. Things can get worse. Yeah. Look at it now. Moses went before Pharaoh and he gave the first sign. They saw it. The magician said, my God, it swallowed their own. Even Aaron's rod brought it. You know what happened? He said, I won't let them go. Sign upon sign upon sign upon sign till the 10th one, actually the 11th one. Then eventually let them go. But as I said, let them go. You know, like we say, oh Lord, I thank you. Finally, finally. You know, many of us do not know that battles don't end for the believer. We don't know. So as we're going, I said, go to the Red Sea. Then the Red Sea shut up. How do we pass? Notice, there was nothing in what God told them that included the Red Sea. They didn't plan for it. They would have maybe gotten some boats or something, but no one was ready. But then they got to the Red Sea, Exodus 14. Oh, they said, Moses, why not let us die in Egypt? Are there graves here? They said, oh, do you know what? Someone said, hey, they're whispering, sending text message, WhatsApp messages. Pharaoh is behind us, oh. Say, check Google map. Ha! He's close by. Very close by. They say, There's some, that's their job. It's not just close by. 16 armor tank. He asked me, brethren, I've not even told you the worst part. Well, the worst part, this one is small. That's it. They have a rocket launcher. A brother in Christ. They stand from 20, he has not seen it used before, from 20,000 meters. Paul, it will hit you! One fellow who works with me, he didn't know I was on the phone. So, you're already laughing. So, usually when I talk to him, he would appear calm. So they now called him. He didn't know I was there, he was a speaker. So he said, because we had some areas where we work, where we have all these insecurity problems. So he said, we cannot go. He said, why? He said, oh, if we go there, those guys, they will bomb everybody and all our head will scatter. Ah! I never heard him speak like that. So when I thought, I said, I don't know what I mean. Now, you can imagine that one in the department. He said, they will bomb everybody, the head will scatter. And on his WhatsApp every day, he'll be putting scriptures. He'll be putting TikTok songs. How? After all the TikTok songs, Ed will scatter. Hey! Say, I live by faith. And I live by faith. See, if you don't live by faith, you can't live by faith. The first thing is to live by faith. Let your words transmit God's power at home. Are you here? I love my dad for one thing he says. You know, he might not have been the one who taught me the scriptures, but my dad would always say this. Every time there's a problem, he would say there, well, God will do a miracle. He just would say it. It was just a closing statement of everything he would say. That helped me to always expect a miracle. Hallelujah. Look at these kind of guys. Now look at their influence. Hallelujah. Look at their influence. I was speaking with someone. The guy worked for the Nigerian military. He called me. He leads a battalion or so. I'm not sure whether it's a battalion, but he called me that. I mean, he's a major. So he called me. He said, go check my name. I said, sorry. He said, you know what? You are one of those people that inspires. He called me. I shared the stories with him. He said, you inspire us a lot. You encourage us at the battlefront. He's a Muslim. So you inspire us when you talk about Nigeria. You talk about positive things a lot. He said, don't give up. Many of us have been influenced by you. He said, thank you, sir. He gave me his number. The other things I can't say here that your pastors know, I told them. You inspire people. How can they know you at home? If you tell daddy, he will say, we are finished. Ah. You know, you should have children when they come with a bad mood. When you talk to them, they are up. Hallelujah. Your siblings, everybody, people in your church, your fellowship, people around you, people at work, when you talk, they know there's possibility. Hallelujah. Look at what these guys did. The whole congregation now started to weep. That's the effect you can have on people. When you are giving the message of the word of faith, let it be in your life. There's no time to drop the ball. Hallelujah. To speak the faith of God. All things are possible. Hallelujah. When they got before the Red Sea, they say, hey, Moses, oh, hey. You know, there are some leaders. They will just respond that same way. They say, hey, you know, Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Had he seen the Red Sea parted before? No. Had God told him to part the Red Sea before? No. But he just knew that all things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. He had not seen it before. Problem upon problem with Pharaoh. Problem upon problem. They got to the one that was the something that you could not, till today people doubt it. What are you crying to me for? Don't you, what you have here, stretch it forth. And he parted the sea. Hallelujah. He had never done it before. He had never seen it done anywhere before. Why do you think nobody asked Joshua in his time? Because someone had showed us a legacy of faith. When they got to Joshua and they saw Jordan, nobody asked questions. Because they knew something was on Joshua that was on Moses. Hallelujah. What kind of leader are you? What kind of leader are you? What do you say about the community where you minister? About the country where you are a pastor? What do you say about your life? What do you say about business in Nigeria? What do you say? Hallelujah. What do you say to people? Don't say anything. Numbers 13. Immediately. Caleb said, don't talk like that. People should find it difficult to speak negative things around you. Do you hear me? I told a staff of mine, member of staff, walk with me. Walk together. I said, you want to give me a report? Why is it the first thing is the negative part? Why is the first thing? I said, start with the good thing. Is there no good thing you have to say? Now, he's not going to be ashamed. I'm going to say, he's a pastor. Tell you a pastor. First of all, tell me, sir, we're going to be able to do this. Even though there's this. But I believe that when we do this, that's how to talk. Inspire it. In management science, right? There's something called the temperature of the room that is determined by the kind of conversations that go on. There's nobody today who runs a major enterprise that is not positive. There's nobody. Nobody. Who runs a major enterprise? The biggest business owners in the world. Watch their words. Are you here? You handle people's lives. Use the right words. Are you here? Glory to God. All night everybody cried. And they cried and said, let's go back to Egypt. But the Bible says not Joshua, verse 6, the son of Nun, and Caleb. They rent their clothes. What's going on, guys? We need people like this in Nigeria, guys. We need people like this in Africa who will tear their clothes. What's going on, guys? What are you talking about? Hallelujah. What's going on here? Hallelujah. What's going on? At home, you are a leader. At your workplace, are you an HOD? What kind of things do you say? You're a pastor of a cell. You should emit faith in the hearts of people. They should see possibilities. Don't forget, things went worse. Things went worse. From bad to worse. What does the scripture say? It says they had an evil report. Numbers 14 says they had an evil report. That's what God said they had. Verse 35 and 36. An evil report, slander. What's an evil report? It opposes God's plan. It opposes the prophecies we have given. It opposes the words that we speak on the pulpit. Don't leave the pulpit and go and say something else elsewhere. Did you hear me? No. Glory to God. Are you here? I have another spirit. Different from the world. I don't have the spirit of this world. I've got the spirit of God. The spirit of faith. I put here in my notes. I said faith is a worldview. Faith is a worldview. Faith is a worldview. It's a worldview. Praise the Lord. It's a worldview. That's what it is. When there was a COVID, I got a lot of people that spoke to me and said, we come on your wall to see positive things. I don't post those things. There are those, that's what they work for. You know, many people that work in journalism, they thrive on bad news. I said, no, I don't do that. I put out positive things. Not that I'm denying things, there are things I put out that may not really look as, you know, but I put out positive things. I believe God that not so far from now, things will go back to normal. And I'm saying that because I'm praying about it. I'm believing God. And we're saying those things, not just on the pulpit, even in the media. You say the right things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's a worldview. Things on Twitter is a worldview. People are pushing their own views. My worldview is the faith of God. My worldview is the plan of God. That's how I see the world. And when your worldview is faith, notice what's going to happen. It might be against majority, right? Sometimes it's against majority. Hallelujah. And take it to the boardroom. Take it to the business world. I was talking to some guys, we were working together. When I set out entrepreneurship. And then they told me, they said, the way you're going about it, this is, you just be carrying paper up and down, carrying paper up and down. I said to them, don't worry. I will carry papers up and down. Then we had this particular bill. A man's name was in a particular company. Every time we got, an invoice, a PFI recorded then, you'll see a particular man's name. Someone said, who is this man? He has all the names. His names are all on the sheets or papers. I said, I'm going to meet him one day. They laughed at me because we were taking an amala. I'm sure the amala wanted to enter their nose. You've not even sold a bottle of oil. You are saying you meet this man that has this. What I did, I told them. I entered the man's personal living room. And I said to my brother-in-law who was there, he was the man's banker. I said, I said this thing just a year ago. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. And I met the man. Hallelujah. Those guys are saying, in fact, they had him say, look, Shekwin is just deceiving himself. I just pity him. He'll just waste his time. I laughed. You don't know me. Me? I've learned never to give up. I put my word out again. I like what Kerry Copeland said years ago. It entered my heart. So I'd rather die believing than stay alive doubting. But I won't die believing because faith will win. Hallelujah. It's not just some of us. We preach it on the pulpit. We say it. They'll get normal. They'll start talking normally. What is wrong with you? It's not. The normal way to speak is not off the pulpit. That's what you are saying on the pulpit. Are you here? That's the normal way to speak. It's a supernatural worldview. Hallelujah. When you are talking the word of God, you are talking supernaturally. When Caleb said, we are able. Caleb was not talking about their vehicles or cars or machinery. He was saying, we got someone behind us. Hallelujah. We got someone behind us. Like I shared to you on Wednesday, he had David and Goliath. Goliath said, what did you, you insult me? I will give your carcasses. He said, no, I will supply you as a supply for the gods. And I showed you on Wednesday. Goliath spoke, David spoke. Who had the last laugh, last words? David. He never stopped talking. Keep talking. Hallelujah. I showed you also. Jonah kept talking. Glory to God. He kept talking. Don't ever stop talking. Because it can go from bad to worse. That's what I'm talking about. It can go from bad to worse. When you are in faith, it's against majority. It's a supernatural worldview. It's also hope. And learn to speak up immediately. Do you hear me? Caleb spoke up immediately. Don't say that again here. Even if it's a pastor friend. Don't say that again here. Don't repeat that here again. Hallelujah. Don't say that here again. Don't. And I told you on Wednesday. Some of us we've allowed, I'm going to show you something now. The unfortunate experiences to color our thinking. Someone told me, hey, I knew somebody who believed God and this didn't happen. He said, what do you think happened? I said, I don't know. Except God shows me what happened. I don't try to tell people, you know, when I was a younger preacher, I would say, what was the person saying? What was the person saying? That's not necessary. I said, I don't know. God could show me in a vision, then I'll know what happened. But the one I know, right, is that all things are possible to him that believes. I don't have the information you're asking me for. The one I know is written. Hallelujah. I can't answer that question. But I know the power of God works. I know faith works. That is the one I know. I'm not privy to all these details. I don't know about it. Hallelujah. The one I know is written and it works. Hallelujah. In Mark 5. That, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she's speaking and speaking and speaking. And then she holds the hem of Jesus' garment and she's whole. Then she tells Jesus the whole story. Don't forget, there was something before that. Jairus had gone to get Jesus to pray for his daughter. Look at Mark 5. To pray for his daughter. At that point, she was still lying sick near the death. Mark 5. She was lying sick and near the death. Are you in Mark 5? In verse 23, that she may live, she may be healed. So Jesus on the way, you know, after that, you're still saying healing, oh, you're still believing God for healing, oh, and that's what, oh, you're still trusting God that, okay, you had a bill to pay, and it's just to pay for the rent of your shop, and you're still paying for the rent of your shop, and you're still believing God, and then you check your account, it's just 10,000, you're looking for 1 million, and then you just see another email. They give you 48 hours. You are still talking 1 million. You now say this one is 2.5. You know, hey, he went from bad to worse as they were done. Pay attention here. The woman told her story. Then in verse 35, while he was speaking to her, he was still telling the woman, your faith has made you whole. Oh, thank God for your life. Oh, hallelujah. And the man would have been smiling. Ah, and they're looking at him like, wow, look at this. And you see that he's looking at his daughter and saying, just the touch of his clothes. See, miracle. Not miracle, miracle. And he said, oh, hallelujah. As he said that, just saying to the woman, you know what? Your faith has made you whole. When he kept speaking, as he was saying that, he said, She's dead. Trouble, not the man. Where are you going from? I am tired. And no, now look at what happened. Look at the next verse. As soon, did you see that? Oh, you don't have to wait. Don't wait till the doubt settles in your mind. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Only believe. Someone say as soon. Immediately. Don't wait. Immediately. It went from bad to worse. In John 11, they went to call Jesus for Lazarus who was sick. When he got there, Lazarus was dead. It went from bad to worse. In ministry, things can go the way you didn't want it. Hallelujah. It went from bad to worse. You arrange chairs for people to come. I've been looking at the chairs, still white. Ah! What? You'll have done everything. What's going on? You planned your projections in life for 2023, and it goes from bad to worse. Follow this. You have to speak up immediately. What I tell myself, I say, it's going to be a greater miracle. Hallelujah. It's going to be a greater miracle. When the short church is down in 2020, what did I tell you? I said, it's going to turn out for our good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't know how. I've never seen COVID before. I didn't know what it is. But I said, it's going to turn out for my, said the church of Jesus Christ is beautiful in all situations. Hallelujah. I kept saying that and saying that. And I kept saying, well, by the time we come back together, we'll have grown stronger. Hallelujah. How? I didn't know, but I knew God knew how. Hallelujah. Just keep speaking the word of God. You can go from bad to worse. It can. We're first told to gather in 20, in 100, 50. They said, don't come. But the word of God is working. Hallelujah. I don't have to see the ones walking behind the scene. All I know is the script is working out for me. Hallelujah. Some of you will sing. Try and listen to your songs. You are a preacher. Listen to your own sermons. Hallelujah. Listen to yourself. Glory to God. You know, look at Acts 12. You know, in Acts 12, Peter was arrested. There's a part of that story that's interesting. And they were praying, the whole church, verse 5, was praying and praying and praying. So when eventually Peter was rescued, watch, this is a very interesting one. And he's rescued and he goes to the house of Mary, where many were praying. As he knocked at the gate, a damsel named Rhoda, Pastor Lange, you should know about that. There's something about that. There's a Rhoda who went to the door. And Rhoda saw Peter. And he went and said, Peter's at the door. They said, you must be mad. Why do you think they were like that? Should I tell you? They weren't like that earlier on. They prayed. Lord, behold their threatenings. Right? Acts 4, 29, 28, 27. And they said that we preach your word with boldness and all that. And they kept preaching and praying. And then they had the signs and wonders happen. Till they grabbed Stephen. When they grabbed Stephen, like play, the guy said, onto your hands. Look at those experiences. Even John Mark is walking with Paul, they are moving power. Then he sees what happened to Elimas. This emoji. Or you have Barnabas from jail to prison, or from one stoning You now let, you know, Acts 14 was when they stoned Paul. Acts 14 was when they fought. They took him for dead. You know what I say? Ah, Paul met the law. Paul has gone. Then Paul comes out. You know, that's fright. For the first few hours, he just saying, one day he won't come back. Monkey go market. She won't return. This happens to everybody. You just have one experience that happened that you didn't expect. So when Stephen died, the apostles stayed back. In Acts 9, 8, pardon me. When Stephen died, it shook the church. That was the first time everybody fled. It shook everybody. Then Acts 12. They now took, you know, that's, like I said, you can say, hey, Stephen, they now took James and killed him. It had now affected everybody. That's why it was difficult for them to say, they released Peter. People can be praying, you know. And they're thinking. So what should I now do now? This is release. How will they release him? How now? Release him. By the time they saw Peter, or Rhoda came, you must be mad. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Put your emotions under control. That's what happened to the disciples. From slap to headbutt to condo. About them and say, "Bo, cut gels." Ah. Then they saw blood. They never saw Jesus with blood before. Never. Blood. Not the blood of prayer. Blood. Wound. Ha. Ah. They thought the hem of his garment is their whole. Ah, there's no garment again. They've removed garment. They thought garment they use garment for. Hey! They said, "Onto your hands, hey, whoa!" He went from bad to worse. But therein lies the miracle. Because it was in Acts 12. Acts 12 was the first time they had such a deliverance. There was Acts 5. Acts 12 was such a huge deliverance. By Peter. This one, it was taken by the king. Not by the elders. And they knew that it was death sentence immediately. But glory be to God. Oh, Paul says he delivers us and he will yet deliver us. Hallelujah. See? So that is why the church acted that way. The moment you see that counteract, Brother Hagin will call it counterattack, begin to speak God's word. Don't let it settle in your mind. So they were already in doubt. Moses spoke immediately. Caleb spoke immediately. Don't wait. In your church, release faith immediately. Are you here? At home, faith immediately. I believe God. I believe God. Thanks be unto God. I believe God. Never. You have no right to spread fear. You have no right. See, Paul. Paul told them not to leave. You know, I told you there are three kinds of storms. There is a storm that you will enter because of your disobedience, Jonah. But even in that, he kept speaking. Are you here? There's a storm that the devil brings you away. Jesus, he spoke. There's a storm that people around you, now trouble they go bring. Paul warned them, Acts 27. They said, "No, forget, what does this one know? Give me the Google map. Look at this, look at weather report. Check the circumference of the centrifugal forces. Well, time we look at the coefficient. Paul said, I've seen something." They didn't listen. There was a storm that came. What does he say? I believe God. Hallelujah. They say, if you are listening to me now, shut up your mouth. Can't you just speak, mate? In our errors, we triumph. In the errors of others around us, we triumph. Even when we have done nothing, and something happens, we will still triumph. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Now hear this. Words matter. Look at Ezekiel 37. How did I forget that one? Say, my words matter. At home, my words matter. At work, my words matter. Alone, my words matter. On the pulpit, my words matter. Hope you are hearing what I'm saying. Whatever happens to anyone, that doesn't come into your confession. Did you hear me? Whatever happens, it doesn't change what you believe. Ezekiel 37. God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. He said to him in 3, Son of man, can this dry bones leave? He said, oh, you know, Lord. Then he said to me in verse 4, prophesy upon these bones. Say unto them, are you here? Are you here? He says, say to them. You know, a dry bone is from dead to worse and worst. But there's nothing you can't speak to. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to pray in tongues. See, I teach you about speaking in tongues, right? You pray in tongues. But when Paul spoke in that ship, he didn't speak in tongues. He said, I believe God. Are you here? There's no time to speak in tongues. Okay, it's good to speak in tongues all the time. But as you're spoken to in tongues and you're going to talk to the storm, speak English. The one that you exercise your faith in. I believe God. In the name of Jesus, I put you under control. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your kids are looking like that, acting funny. In the name of Jesus. I know you are going to serve God. You are going to love God. In the name of Jesus. Are you here? You speak God's word. Say, speak to it. Words matter. I told you on Wednesday, if words don't matter, we will use it to preach. We preach, people are saved. We prophesy, people are edified. Words matter. If words don't matter, we will use it to praise God. It doesn't matter. We need to give thanks to God. Start to value what you say. Don't transmit fear. Did you hear me? Those of you who are husbands, let them know you that. Know you for that at home. There's lack. But you say in the name of Jesus. Our needs are met. Our bills are paid. In the name of Jesus. That's how to talk. That's how to talk. That's how to talk. You're in the work of the ministry. Maybe today, doing your meetings, things didn't fall as you wanted. Those are, well, this thing is stress. It's not stress. You are blessed. And the works of your hands are prospering. That's what you are going to say. Respond immediately. And say, in the name of Jesus, this time next week will have multiplied in the name of Jesus. Transmit fear. There should be possibilities all the time. Do you hear me? Things didn't go like you planned. But say what you believe. And act upon it. We've said in the name of Jesus that this area is going to be covered by the word of God. So shall it be. There is no allowance to transmit fear. Hear this. In workers' meetings, speak faith. In your sermons, speak faith. In your prayers, speak faith. In your songs, speak faith. In your announcements, if somebody gives another in doubt, let it be the last time. In your announcements, don't say, you know, let's be, you know, these days, keep quiet. There's a huge difference between caution and fear. I use a mask. I don't want to catch a virus. But I believe God. I believe God that He keeps me. With the mask, with my faith, with the power of God, everything is working. That's how Christians talk. That's how Christians talk. Release faith in your responses. In leaders' meetings. Hear this. In chats, conversations, WhatsApp chats. Release faith. Are you here? Don't be curious to read anything, watch anything. The moment you see a sign of unbelief, change the channel. Don't watch to the end. Immediately. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Stand in faith. Use your words. Don't wait till it settles on your mind. Release it immediately. Hallelujah. Some of us will hear words and we're staying on it. No. Someone told me some years back and said, you know what? I said, I'm not going to think about it. No, I won't. So I left his house. I began to walk. I started to speak. I talked in tongues and I knew the effect of what he said. Later on, he said, thank God you didn't listen to me. I fought a battle that day because I really believed in you. You use your words. Don't wait. Don't wait. It can go from bad to worse. Don't let that scare you. You got a bad experience. I told you on Wednesday, was it the upper one? That you know you have sometimes that you will not be remembering. Let me put the day things didn't work. Why can't you remember the one that worked? Which is the one you need? Don't think about the day you fell sick and you had to be hospitalized. What about the day that you got up from the bed and walked in freedom and in freedom of health? What about, why are you not thinking about that? Don't think about the day that you know, the debtors came after you and took your property. What about the day someone sent you money without you asking? Think about that. Thank God for that. Oh Lord, I thank you. That was so and so day you met my needs. On so and so day you healed my body. I know you will do it again. Oh Lord, I know. I thank you. When you sent me to this town and this city, things were tough, but you came through for me. I know you will do it again. Faith is a fact. Faith is an act. Yes, it's a fact and it's an act. Use your words. Whatever it is today, a difficulty, a challenge, something you never expected this year, it's only a counterattack. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lift your hands. Bless the Lord tonight. Things are working. In your family,